Right, welcome to the FBC podcast. As always, my name is Justin, and I'm joined today, as always, by Nathan.
Hello.
And by Greg.
Hello.
And as you may or may not be able to hear, Greg is not feeling too clever today.
I'm on the physio's bed. I'm on the sick bed. Yeah, I mean, officially got a couple of games off now, I think.
Showing absolute dedication to the FBC podcast. I wonder whether myself and Nathan may be carrying it nonetheless, but we'll see.
We'll see. I'll never let our listeners down from getting our 4 out of 8 tips. So
Well, we'll come to what was a fairly disappointing week for me particularly, but for the FBC.
We lose together, you know, as a team. So
now there's a suggestion that the wild card may have had a role in your illness.
Yeah, in your green face that's looking at me right now.
If there was anything bad that happens to me in my life, I tend to look and think about the wild card when it comes to that. But explain, can you, why?
Well, there's a number of reasons why I think this. Firstly, obviously, you are currently leading the FBC and he is currently losing.
Okay.
Not that I think he thinks he can catch you, but maybe he can make the gap seem a little bit more respectable if he takes you out.
I would not put it past him on his current form. He needs to do something drastic and...
That's exactly what he's done.
Yeah, he's certainly hampered me. I struck out.
I think I should explain to our listeners, because we do this every week. We talk about exactly what the FBC is. We are a group of friends who every week pick 2 picks from this forthcoming weekend of football action across the major leagues in Europe, particularly in England, and the minor leagues in England as well. And one of our picks has to be 1.4 or over. The other one has to be 1.65 or over. We combine our picks together, us three and the wildcard, who we'll talk more about in a moment, to form an 8-game accumulator, and then we put that on. And you guys listening to the podcast or visiting the website, preferably listening to the podcast, you can take some of our bets, listen to the podcast, decide which of us is talking nonsense and which of us is onto a winner, and turn them into your own accumulator, and hopefully net yourself a little bit of profit.
Yeah, well, I think if you are going to obviously listen to the podcast, which obviously you are at the moment, but please do listen to iTunes and do subscribe on there. It'd be very helpful for us, and please do leave us a review.
Cheap little review.
I think the reviews, anyone who knows anything about podcasting will know that it's actually quite hard to determine how many people are listening on iTunes, and most people ask for reviews because it gives them a bit more of an indication. So if you are subscribed via iTunes, we'd appreciate a review. We have been sent messages via Twitter, which we'll talk about again in a moment, but also there's a comment section on our website, the www.thefootballbetclub.com, and we welcome any comments on there as well.
You can also follow by email as well if you prefer email updates, so we've got all angles covered, really, I think.
Which is why we're
so big in Greece and the United Arab Emirates.
Shout out to our UAE listeners. Also, I've got to send a big kind of hello to Norris over in Tennessee in the United States, who sent me a message telling us how great he thought, how good he thought a podcast had been so far and how much he was enjoying it.
Great.
And also, he put forward the suggestion in my head that the wild card has the kind of similar status to a Sasquatch, a wild, hairy man who roams around the woods, collecting wood, eating vermin, and just generally maybe grunting football tips to people.
Can you tell me what a Sasquatch is, please?
A Sasquatch.
I haven't got a clue, mate.
A Sasquatch is equivalent to the Bigfoot legend, except particularly kind of Canadian. So he's basically Canadian Bigfoot. A Bigfoot with a slightly different accent.
A bit like the French rugby player Chabal, if you ever know who that is.
I am aware.
I'm sure all of our American listeners know the French rugby player Chabal looks like.
Trying to think of a sort of Yeti-based Premier League footballer that someone might know, but I don't know. I have to think about that one while we're broadcasting.
Well, you think about that.
Could it be Wes Morgan?
Oh, yes. It's taken less than 4 minutes to
now,
meet up.
This is one of those things where we obviously discuss things on the website. Gwen's out.
He's
come a lot worse. But you know, like in a newspaper when they actually report something incorrect, and then the following week afterwards, they put that little bit on page 107 where they say, sorry, we made a mistake. Just on Greg's behalf, I'd like to say that Wes Morgan, who is Leicester City's centre-half and captain, is not English.
Who joined Leicester City in 2012-13.
Now that you've read up on him, on our last podcast, we said that Greg was adamant he was playing so well that he's in line and in contention for an England call-up in the recent friendlies. However, he's had 23 caps for Jamaica.
Obviously, I knew this, and I was just saying that his form is good enough for England. Obviously, he's not going to play. When Justin said, "Is he English then?" I mean, in a way, in the spirit, he is in my heart.
Technically, he was born in England, but he's not eligible to play for England.
Yeah, I didn't know he played for Jamaica, which is scandalous, considering I've watched most of his career as a Forest fan.
And he was.
What about his non-league career, which he's supposed to have had, according to you?
Now, technically, where I'm from, that does count as non-league because we're in, at the time we were in League Two or League One, sorry, and really the Nottingham, you know, the youth team for Forest is very bad. So
he did have a loan spell at Kidderminster, who will also come up later on in this podcast for reasons I regret. However, Greg, I should let you know that I was inspired, and I talked to Nathan about this, and we were inspired that maybe we would bring in a new kind of section called "How Well Do You Know Your Team?" I've prepared. There's going to be throughout the podcast. I've prepared five Nottingham Forest questions for you.
Oh, wow, it put me on the spot. But I'm like this.
I'll say this. I'm going to start off fairly easy. Anything that any normal football fan of their team should know. And then throughout the podcast, they'll be getting gradually higher. So, first question for you. Who is Nottingham Forest's highest ever signing? The most expensive ever signing?
Pretty sure it's quite small. I think it's Pierre Van Hooijdonk. It's something like 4 million.
Do you know what, Nathan? He's got one out of five so far.
Wow!
Well done. That is the
really.
Yes.
Hey! And you got to just say that this is.
And that's the end of the podcast this week, guys.
The surprise on Greg's face is more than even Justin or I.
Yeah, 4.5 million paid to Celtic, I believe, for Pierre Van Hooijdonk. Okay, so we should probably get on with this review of last week.
We might need to get onto the podcast. Yeah.
So Nathan, the first, the most informed tipster, as you like to call yourself, whether it's true or not, is irrelevant to you. It is
definitely irrelevant. I am now 11. It's definitely relevant. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up words here. But out of the last 12, I've backed the last 11.
It's very good.
So I had one not right. So I've done very well there. And I mean, I'm very confident, and that's going to come up later on in terms of the bets.
Someone say too confident
this season, this week. Because I've backed a couple of ropey ones, and I'm hoping that they come through. Anyway, my first one was Motherwell versus Aberdeen, both teams to score, which was 1.8. Aberdeen went 1-0. They were the away team. They went up in the first half with a penalty, and then I was a bit worried that Aberdeen, because they've got a good good defence up in Scotland, and Motherwell, they scored two in the 17th minute very quickly, and thing you know, they won 2-1.
I think it's made even more incredible. I don't know if you're aware of this, but did you know that Motherwell was actually closed the Wednesday? The club had to shut because there was such an outbreak of flu at the club the Wednesday prior to the game.
That's what I've got.
No, Motherwell hadn't. The first team hadn't trained for days, and they actually had to shut the club. The whole thing. They just closed the doors for a day because everyone was ill,
and they still won.
Not only won, but came from behind with 20 minutes to go
against Aberdeen, who were second. And I backed them to score because they were trying to catch up with Celtic, obviously in first. And I thought Aberdeen would probably win that in a tight game, but a Motherwell 2-1 win, who were kind of in mid-table, not necessarily doing too much, was a massive win for them. So really pleased for Motherwell. And, you know, despite the stats, because I think Aberdeen only scored six in the last five, I think you were a bit concerned about that, Greg, about would they score, and they managed to bag it. So I'm very pleased about that one. That was my first one. And also, actually, for those of you tuned in for the past couple of weeks, I am now, with my good recent form, the continental expert. I'm going to say that Scotland is part of that. So I'm 4 out of 4 for my reason for...
You're so confident you're going to say Scotland is part of the continent.
Yeah. it's all foreign seas. So. But then the second one was Walsall versus Colchester. And this, oh my word, was a very lucky one. I backed a Walsall win, which is 1.5. And they actually won 2-1. But it was far from a straightforward win. Colchester went 1-0 up. And we've backed them numerous times this season because they are the relegation experts of that league. But they scored just before half time. They went 1-0 up, and then Walsall scored in the 89th and 94th minute to get the win. And there's a bit of a story about this. Because what happened was, in the 18th minute, one of Walsall's defenders went off, and they brought on Matt Preston. Now, I know that you've never heard of him. He's 21. He's only played 6 games in the league. He's a product of the Warsaw kind of academy system. And he came on, homegrown talent, big cheers from the home team. And he got the assist with a flick on for the 89th minute goal. And then he scored the winning goal in the 94th minute. So yeah. He's going to be the fans' favourite now. I think
he should also be the FBC champion of the week. We should have like a sort of feature.
Yeah.
Where, like a sort of thanks to a particular player. I think Matt Preston would get that this week. He certainly saved you.
He saved me. And I would love to say that I was jumping around my living room when that 94th minute went in. But actually, I'd had a bit of a nap that that afternoon. And I thought, oh, the games are finished. I better check my scores. And next thing you know, 94th minute, and I was another 2 out of 2. So that's 11 out of the last 12. And it's a good result for me, really. So I'm very pleased about that. We're going to move on to the wild cards review. He got 1 out of 2. Is that correct?
That's right. He his first pick, which was on the Saturday, which was controversial to say the least. We all gave it a bit of a panning on the show.
Yeah.
And it was Dover to go all the way up to Guiseley. And for that game to be both teams to score.
That was a 1.7.
And as predicted, I've got to say, as we predicted, Guiseley did not manage to find the back of the net because they were on a barren run. And
yeah.
And I'm not sure if the wild card was aware of this, but it didn't come in.
Yeah. This is probably the nail in the coffin for the Genco bet.
The Genco bet.
Because Dover...
They did a reverse Genco.
They went all the way up to Guiseley, which is I don't know how many hundred miles, and they went there and they lost 1-0. I think Dover scored and then Guiseley had nothing in return and it was a 1-0 win, rudimentary.
Yeah, not even a lot of goals. So
yeah.
Poor pick that one, I think. The second one was much better though, which was on the Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, the second one broke one of the Nathan rules where he backed a derby, which was Juventus to beat Torino on the Sunday, 1.8. I think it was a 4-1 win for Juventus.
Smashed it, yeah. I watched that game actually and they were all over it. I was quite surprised when Torino scored. But they look very, very good.
Yeah.
Class above, you'd say.
So. You had question marks about that last week, didn't you, Justin?
I did and I didn't. I thought it might go that way. I said, is this the kind of derby where it's tightly contested?
Yeah.
Or is this the kind of derby like, and I think I compared it to QPR Chelsea, where Chelsea just win every year.
Yeah.
And it seems it's actually the latter. After the podcast, I looked it up. Torino did beat Juventus in the same fixture last season, but prior to that, they had not beaten them since 1995.
Wow, somebody's been on Wikipedia.
So Torino obviously haven't spent all that time in Serie A, so that's not every season. But nevertheless, to not have beaten your local rival since 1995 is... As an Everton fan, I know that I have a similar feeling.
Yeah. And I think it was Levante scored an amazing goal. Was it Pogba chipped it over to Levante? Great first touch and he passed it into the bottom corner.
Llorente, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think he's been linked to a move to the Premiership, I think. So he looks like he's got goals. I think it was Arsenal he's been linked with. We're going to go to Greg now for your review. How'd you get on, mate?
So, about 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, I was cruising. Chelsea-West Ham was one of my first picks to be both teams to score. And despite a bit of reservation last week from you guys about whether Chelsea would score, it was 2-2. And that was cruising in. And my other pick, which was Atletico Madrid, to defy their Champions League tiredness and cruise to victory against Sporting Gijón. They were winning 1-0 and I was feeling very happy about myself. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, on 75 minutes or 80 minutes, Sporting Gijón scored 2 late goals.
Yeah.
And I got egg on my face.
And that was the game with the best team away from home, which was an Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Against the worst team at home, which was Sporting Chucky Gujons. And they booked all trends and formed.
They booked all trends, but I mean, if I should have listened to Justin, I hold my hand up here. He did pre-warn me. He did say the game was midweek, was at a furious pace, and they were going to be tired. And lo and behold, 75 minutes, they looked a bit tired, and ended up losing the game. It's a shame we can't listen to that kind of feedback when we do the podcast because we've already done our picks, haven't we?
We're not going to change them.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a moment.
But it's good for the listeners of our show to maybe listen to the podcast and bear that in mind when they're thinking, oh well, there's some doubts and some concerns.
So what it was also good to listen to was that you had some concerns about Chelsea West Ham did come off at 1.75, but also you were thinking about that one or backing Burnley to beat Wolves.
Yeah.
And Burnley and were London. Doing really well. They're doing really well in the Championship.
Yeah.
And Wolves got a 94th minute equaliser. Danny Batt, the centre half, product of the Wolves youth system. He got an equaliser, and that was a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, I mean, that's a coupon buster if ever there was one. I mean, people would have been backing Burnley, I would have thought, on that one. And, yeah, again, so I dodged a bullet in that one. So, I mean, 1 out of 2. Again, I'm stumbling a little bit. I'm kind of looking over my shoulder big time now.
Yeah.
After your form, lucky form.
my 94th minute winner form. And I think my strike rate's gone up to 56% now.
Oh no! Okay. Maybe actually.
Might be more than that. I don't know. Maybe I think your 60s maybe still.
But I mean, is it just a 2-way race for the title now? Has Justin dropped out? I mean, this is a big concern for him now. Let's move on to his.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I am now looking over my shoulder at the wild card. It's not a pretty sight.
It's not a pretty sight. There's a Yeti behind you.
A hairy. A beast chasing me.
Hairy Canadian beast, right?
A hairy Canadian beast, which is all the more frightening. I should just say, just before we move on to mine, Greg, could you tell me, in the Premier League, who is Nottingham Forest's top scorer? So who has scored the most Premier League goals for Nottingham Forest?
That's a great question.
Well, I can tell you it's not Andre Silenzi. who never got a goal.
If you'd like to think about this while I discuss my review,
I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say maybe it would have been Teddy Sheringham, we only played one season. I'm going to say Stan Collymore. No.
Unfortunately, Stan Collymore, it was pipped by one goal.
No.
By one goal from a player that I
Nigel
know.
Nigel Clough.
I know that you're a big fan of.
Brian Roy.
Brian Roy, he was great. I love Brian Roy.
I didn't realise he got more goals than
Stan. Brian Roy, he just played for Forest for longer.
Yeah.
Brian Roy was a midfielder where Stan was a striker, right?
Yeah. Stan Collymore only...
Like Brian Roy's like a number 10, kind of tricky, kind of inside winger.
He's left-footed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Stan Collymore played less seasons in the Premier League than Brian Roy for Nottingham Forest. Brian Roy pipped him by one goal. 24 goals, Brian Roy, in the Premier League. 23, Stan Collymore.
Good question.
That is a great question.
One out of five so far, so 50-50%, which kind of brings me to my overall form in the FBC, which is about 50%.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, you know that you can back at least one of my picks every single week, but don't back both because they're not coming in.
If you're going to back mine ones, you could back 11 out of 12 and it'll probably come in.
Maybe.
So this week I had an absolute shocker. I went and I feel slightly justified in saying it's you guys who are to blame for this.
I would fight that vehemently with the fact that we did point to the stats, especially your record in the whole team's record in Scotland last week. I did raise it.
Explain it more, Justin, for our listeners.
Okay, so those of you, the way it works is we discuss, well, we don't discuss our bets. We send each other our bets via WhatsApp at the moment, at least a day before we record this podcast. And when we got to the podcast, you all kind of gave me a rather, lukewarm warning against betting in Scotland. Now, personally, I'm a bit like a heroin addict in a way, in that when I get something in my sights, I kind of lose sight of kind of context.
Yeah.
I needed you guys to shake me, to say, no, don't bet on Scotland. The same way someone needs to, you know, lock a heroin addict in a room and deprive them of, like, the drugs. You should have deprived me of betting in Scotland.
Well,
so in the tradition of my own character, I'm not taking responsibility for this.
So we should put you in Scottish cold turkey.
We have had a couple of successful bets, but the ratio is not great in Scotland.
I don't think I've had any in Scotland this season.
Yeah. The National League in Scotland does not treat you well, Justin.
This was the Premier League. So Hearts at home, they've won four games. The four previous games, they've won without conceding a goal. So they hadn't conceded a goal for four games. They'd won every single one of their last four games. At home to mid-table St Johnstone, who were iffy. And St Johnstone won 3-0. That is not natural. That is not... There are forces at work against me. And this is where you should have stepped in and said, you know what, Justin? It's not going to work for you in Scotland.
I think I hear what you're saying, but also you're quite a hard man to change your opinion of sometimes. Yeah. And it's difficult. So what was bet two?
So bet two was another,
another classic
shocker. So I picked Lincoln City, who had been in very good form.
Yep.
It was a bet that you actually tried to nab off me.
You being Nathan, which is me. Yep.
Yeah, Nathan tried to nab off me, but I wish he had now. But I held on to it. I said, no, Lincoln versus Kidderminster.
I think you said it was 100% certainty. Actually,
I thought this was a banker. And I think this also really kind of reiterates that the fact that betting on football, doesn't matter what league it is or whoever is playing or what your knowledge is, it's just a gamble. Because
the Palestinian West Bank League, which case it's 100% certainty.
But the fact is, I mean, I've had 11 out of the past 12, and in those 11 successful ones, you guys are laughing. I don't know if the listeners at home can listen.
No one's
11
laughing.
From 12 come up three times.
Asleep. 11 out of 12.
In that 11 out of 12, there has been. So that's 11. No. But in those successful bets, there's been so many last minute equalizers. There's so many relegation ones which have done something which is out of character. There's been so many kind of external circumstances which mean that actually this time, when those things have happened, I've benefited from it. Whereas normally, you backed a massive favourite against a team who was destined to get relegated, and they just lost. You know what I mean?
They won the trend.
Yeah, so Lincoln City went 1-0 up very early on, and they just capitulated in the last kind of 15 minutes of the game. Kidderminster they won 2-1, and it was, you know, the Kidderminster rock bottom of the National League. Lincoln City on a good run of form, kind of trying to get towards the playoffs and everything. An absolute shocker of a week for me. Yeah. And as I said, I blame you.
You blame your teammates.
I blame you. I blame the wild card. He's not here, but I blame him nevertheless. I blame everyone apart from myself.
So there's a big eye in team.
I think there's a degree of accountability that is being misplaced here. Your bets, mate. Sort yourself out.
It's not my fault.
Let's hope for better this week.
Moving on to this week, we obviously want to talk about the bets that we have for this coming weekend. For the first time this season, we're actually going to include from Friday their bets, because there's quite a few of the Football League games on Friday, with it being the Easter bank holiday kind of weekend scenario. We're going to extend that to the weekend, and also there's a reduced amount of action to pick from because of the international break.
Oh dear.
So the international break is a thing which we can't help as football fans and footballers, you know, amateurish as we are, get excited about, because it's our national team playing.
What? No, I can easily help getting excited.
Yeah. I really get excited about it. But the thing is that it never lives up to that excitement. It's never justified. And this brings into my third rule. I have two existing
rules. It's Romania, Lithuania today. It's
my point exactly. But I have three rules, really. I've got three rules at the moment for the FBC, which I personally don't follow. Sometimes the other guys, they choose to. But one is, don't bet in a derby. Two, don't bet on... hang on.
The FA Cup?
Don't bet on the FA Cup. And the third one is, do not ever back an international.
Yeah. It's so boring. I've seen, you know, England play France, England play Spain. When it's a friendly, it's just boring.
I quite like the discussion, because there's quite a lot of second guessing going on with international friendlies, because there's a lot of players in that squad who are on the fringe. People like, you know, Vardy or Drinkwater or whoever it is.
Wes Morgan.
And they, you know, are going to have their opportunity to go and play in an international setting, which is not completely the, you know, full kind of soiree in terms of the international tournaments. However, it's quite interesting to see how those players who have never played at that level or haven't played at that level, you know, for a long time, to see how they get on. You know, if England play Danny Drinkwater, I'd be really interested to see how he gets on.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting to a point, but it's not as interesting as a 8-game accumulator with your friends and, you know, sort of...
Well, we have that as well.
Maybe betting's
friendlies.
Just become too important. It's a worrying sign, maybe.
For me, it's not the betting. For me, it's the actual standard of the football. I mean, I think we've been What's made it even worse is the fact that England have had such a dull qualifying campaign. Mm. We haven't had any real competition. Supposedly the next best side in England's qualifying group was Switzerland, who, you know, are my second team, being that I'm half Swiss. Mm. And they didn't even put up a fight. They rolled over, and England won every single game without dropping a point in the end. It was so boring. Yeah.
But our qualifying campaigns, obviously being an Englishman, is, you know, they're normally actually pretty good. We generally,
we qualify.
Like, I remember in Capello, we had a really good qualifying situation.
Ericsson and then as well.
Yeah, and then it just always falls away in the major tournaments where we're winning 1-0 in the quarterfinals, and then all of a sudden, we can't keep the ball. Well, we had a game management
it's predictable,
is poor.
Isn't it?
Next thing you know, we concede a goal, and then we concede another one, and then we're out.
Well, it doesn't help that there's so much lack of competition. This qualifying group has been an absolute joke, and it will do us a disservice when we get to the actual tournament, because we haven't played a seriously competitive game of football since the last major tournament where we've disappointed.
That might help in that is that this tournament's bigger, isn't it? So there's weaker teams in it this time.
That's the point I was thinking about.
We might get a bit of time for England to get their eye in a bit more. Usually we get kind of hammered by some good quality footballing side. Doesn't matter which country, but they all play better football than us.
But that therefore makes the qualifying groups weaker, though, because they're including a lot of teams which would never have normally been there.
The groups are exactly the same.
For example,
it just
Wales.
Means that more teams can get in, but the groups are in themselves are the same.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so
let's go into this week. Justin, you want to kick us off?
Well, before we do, I wanted to talk about one more famous Nottingham Forest international,
yes.
The most capped player. To play for Nottingham Forest, the player to receive the most caps while playing for Nottingham Forest is Stuart Pearce. But
okay. You were going to say Des Walker or something, weren't you?
I was going to say Peter Shilton. Actually.
It was Stuart Pearce.
Stuart Pearce. Okay.
He received.
I was obviously going to say Stuart Pearce.
He received 76 caps while playing for Nottingham Forest.
But
here's the question: who did you sign Stuart Pearce from?
I know this, and it is from.
I think I know this as well.
I think you do know it. I think we've got a really link there. Coventry City.
Oh, I feel you gave it away there slightly.
I didn't think it was Coventry.
You thought it was Swindon.
But I know also who Coventry City signed him from, which is the Wellstone United, whoever they are in the league.
Wellstone Raider is not a football team, mate. It's that
the
guy.
The Wellstone Rangers.
Yeah.
Actually watched Wellstone play. I went to see Hendon play away to Wellstone in the London Seniors Cup. The game was abandoned at half time because the keeper went up to catch a ball, came down hard, and the pitch was so frozen he broke two ribs.
Wow.
And the game was abandoned. So that's my story of having watched Wellstone.
Well, that's reminded me. One good thing about the international break is that it does give you a chance to look at the lower leagues. And we'll be going this week, most of us will be, going to the Dulwich Hamlet game, which is Dulwich Hamlet versus Tonbridge Angels.
Yeah, on Easter Monday.
On Easter Monday. So if anyone just fancy getting down there and hanging out with the FBC Massive, then get yourselves down on Monday, Dulwich Hamlet.
So I think, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm a bit disturbed by Dulwich Hamlet's kit. I mean, if you have the access to Wi-Fi or internet on your phone, please do Google that because it will make you chuckle. But I'm looking forward to that. It's the first game I've been down to the Dulwich Hamlet, so we'll see how they get on, hopefully.
Yeah, that's positive.
Hopefully we'll do well there. Justin, mate, it's on to you.
Yeah, it's on to me. So I've gone, I'll be honest with you, I'm not confident this week. And any of our listeners who are listening, I'm not going to say that these are definitely going to win. I can't say that. And I think I'd be doing a disservice if I said they would.
Good. Honesty.
But I've gone for quite a shot in the dark, in a way. It was something unusual for the FBC. We did have an over 2.5 the other day when you bet on Man City to beat Villa over 2.5.
Great tip.
And I've gone for an over 2. I've gone for an over 2.5. Oxford versus Stevenage. This is on the Friday. Oxford riding high in the league at the moment. They've won their last two games 4-0 and 3-0. Before that they drew 2-2 and they won 2-1. The only blip they've had in terms of over 2.5 in their last six games was an away defeat to Leighton Orient where they lost 1-0. Other than that, Oxford United score a lot of goals. Now I'm not expecting Stevenage to score, so what I'm going for is a big Oxford win. It maybe might not seem like the most sensible theory because people might think, oh, actually, over 2.5, really, you need to try and factor in a team you know, two teams that are going to score goals.
Yeah.
But for me, similarly to when you went for Man City, Aston Villa, I see this being a kind of big home win and getting the over 2.5. Because the home win itself was only at 1.36, so it wouldn't have been allowed under FBC rules. So I'm going for a big win. I'm going over 2.5, 1.8.
I don't like the over or under 2.5 goals.
No.
I've had one under 2.5 goals. My team won 2-0, which is one of the 11 out of 12 that I'm currently reigning in. I don't know if you guys have heard that before. No, but I think it's such a tightrope. And what you're banking on really is an early goal.
No, I'm banking on a lot of goals.
No, but you want an early goal to kind of open the floodgates,
yeah,
don't you? Really?
It would be
although when City game,
when Greg, when Greg beat got that bet, which was the Man City versus Villa, it was 0-0 at half time.
You make a fair point. If they're sitting at 2-0 at half time, then I'm feeling a lot more confident.
Agree. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I like this one.
I think you picked the right league. Sorry to interrupt. But I think you picked the right league because I think there's a lot of goals in League Two. So I think that they do fly around a bit. So I think that's good.
My second pick is, I've gone for a kind of a big home favourite, if you will. Sheffield United are 1.44 to beat Crewe. Mm. Now, Crewe are in a relegation battle. I think they're quite far. They're quite far from safety in a relegation battle. Sheffield United have showed some improved form. However, they lost to Millwall at the weekend, which was... which was a bet that we actually almost included. Yeah.
And also Rotherham. They lost to Rotherham, right?
Who did?
Sheffield United.
They're not in the same division.
No, but didn't we have this discussion about the Neil Warnock?
Yeah. I think it was Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, Sheffield Wednesday, sorry, yeah.
I think you're having
sorry.
That whole thing where you don't understand divisions.
Yeah, it's happened before. It happens again, yeah. That was the one, yeah. Sorry about that.
The obsession with Neil Warnock just came out.
I think Warnock is, you know, he's having a massive impact at Rotherham down there. They were, I think they were 6 points adrift from safety a few weeks ago, and now they're 2 points clear.
I think they've won nearly all their matches he's taken over.
They have won all apart from one, which is a draw. I think it's a massive impact. I mean,
can I just throw this out? If anyone's listening to this podcast and would like to just tweet us to whether they think that the segment Warnock Watch would be a goer, and we'd be happy to listen to that. I think they should let us all know because Nathan's very keen to implement Warnock Watch.
Can I ask what Warnock Watch would involve? Would it involve us literally watching images of Neil Warnock? Would it involve you?
I'm not up to that,
like,
to be honest.
Running commentary of, you know, he's walking up and down the touchline. He sat down.
Twitter feeds
update. I wanted to introduce it because he's new in management in terms of Rotherham. No, in terms of Rotherham, he's...
That's one of the league's most experienced managers.
No, he came up a couple of episodes ago and he was playing Sheffield Wednesday. And we thought, and Greg introduces the fact that he was now the newly appointed Rotherham manager. And you guys were pointing out the fact that he wasn't really a good manager. I disagreed. I thought that in the lower leagues, up until the Championship level, he's a good manager. Premiership, he's unproven. But he's someone who's experienced down there. He could probably do a job saving the team from relegation. So I thought it'd be really interesting to figure out how they got on last week and you know, see how they got on, review their results, and then also ask a bit of a quiz question. So as we're on it, Warnock has had a number of managerial jobs since 1989.
Do we have space for two quizzes at the same time?
Well, this is a trial for Warnock Watch. I don't know, but
we're in Warnock Watch now.
This is Warnock Watch.
We're in the Warnock Zone, okay.
Mate. We're in the Warnock Zone. You are right. But also, he polarizes opinion because people love him or they think he's a bit of a douchebag. So, like, it's a bit of a weird one. But since 1989, how many clubs? 1989 was his first.
Sorry, are you using the term douchebag because you now know we have a listener in Tennessee?
I'm being global, mate. Global. Okay. Global appeal. Since 1989, which is his first managerial job.
Douchebags. It's just not very English English slang. It's quite American.
How many teams has he managed since 1989?
I don't know, so I'm going to go for 14.
I'm going to go lower. I'm going to go 10.
He has managed six 16 teams. Woo! 16 teams, which says a lot for his kind of instability at
clubs.
Yeah,
it's a lot, isn't it?
There's quite a few clubs where he's managed for a season or less.
It's nearly a whole league of teams.
Yeah, exactly. So that was Warnock Watch, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm the first winner of Warnock Watch.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you've got 1 point on the Warnock Watch counter. Okay. If you think that was a great idea or a really bad idea, please let us know on Twitter or on the website.
Okay, right. So this week's picks, let's go to Greg.
Yeah, so my first pick that I picked out that immediately jumped off the page was League One leaders Burton Albion to beat Oldham. So that was 1.75 or maybe creeped up to 1.8 today, I'm not sure. But for me, that looked too big a price for what is Oldham of kind of fighting relegation. And the thing that worried me a little bit about it was that Oldham are fighting relegation. And I don't really like backing against those kind of teams, but I just think Burton Albion are so strong at home. They seem to win 3-0, 2-0, these kind of results. So it just, I didn't really need to do too much research. And yeah, that was my first one. Any thoughts on that? Everyone pretty happy with that, I think?
Yeah, to be honest, I wanted that one.
Flirted with letting you have that.
You wavered at one point, and I thought I'd be able to steal in, but I like that one, and I wanted that one for myself.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I would say about that is I think Burton have been a little bit inconsistent recently. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Oldham have been renowned for being low scorers. I remember you brought it up a few weeks ago when I bet on Wigan to beat Oldham. But I think they scored two or three last game. I think they were at home that game. So who knows if they got goals in the bag away from home.
I think we'll be okay.
I was under the impression that Burton were in very good form at the moment.
Okay.
They seem to have picked up. Yeah, they did have a lull.
They did have a little lull.
But then everyone did in League One and no one really capitalised. And now they've gone strong again.
Okay.
So that was my first one. And the reason I was kind of flirting with letting someone else take it, because I had quite a few both teams to score bets that I quite liked, and I was trying to be selective. I think it's probably the hardest thing in betting, isn't it? When you've got your list of like, oh, these 10 games would probably win, trying to pick out the two you think are your bankers. And in the end, I don't know, don't ask me how, but I've settled for Exeter City versus Barnet to be both teams to score. And that is because, purely on stats really, although I have followed a little bit of Barnet's season, if I picked them a couple of times on the FBC, they, in 67% of their games, both those teams have had a both teams to score result. So it seems that this happens quite a lot. It seems that they're quite open at the back and still score. So I'm just hoping it's another one of those moments. And looking at their recent kind of results, they've seemed to get goals. So whether it does or not, we'll have to wait to be seen. I think that's 1.75 or something like that, up near there. So two fairly high value picks for me. And the reason I'm picking slightly high value picks is that I've looked at our league table standings, and if it comes down to it and it's a draw, in terms of strike rate and percentage, Nathan at the moment will win because he's got a higher average pick value than me, and it's quite considerably higher. So I'm trying to, it's a bit like our version of goal difference. So I'm trying to maybe sneak up. It shows that I'm a bit scared about you climbing the league. So that's my two anyway.
Yeah, you are top of the league, but your average pick bet of each bet is lower.
1.67.
But I've still got a fair way to kind of try and catch you. So we'll see how we get on with that.
Yeah. So someone else who's top of the league at the moment is Wes Morgan. So I thought we'd go a little bit of Wes Morgan direction. Question number four on how well do you know your team? Wes Morgan.
But he's not. Oh yeah, go on.
Is one of two Jamaican internationals to have played for Nottingham Forest.
Oh, no.
Who is the other one?
I thought you were going to say Caribbean. I was going to say Stern John of Trinidad and Tobago, but it's not him, obviously. The other Jamaican internationals play for Forest.
Yeah, if you want, I can.
It's obviously.
We can come back to it.
Yeah, can you give me a minute?
Yeah, sure.
All right,
we'll go on to Nathan's picks then.
Yeah, so in the meantime, although I'm on good form, I was a bit struggling this week with the lack of fixtures. I thought it was quite difficult. I'm going to Hartlepool versus AFC Wimbledon, both teams to score 1.83.
The Monkey Hangers.
Now, you can call them what you want, mate, but the stats aren't great for this one. And to be fair, that was the same for the Motherwell Aberdeen game. So I'm hoping
complacency.
I'm hoping the lack of stats backup means that my bets come up. Hartlepool have only scored six in the last four, and the last two games have been 0-0.
You are aware that their nickname is the Monkey Hangers. I didn't just shout out Monkey Hangers for no reason.
I know that now, mate. Yeah. But the reason why I'm backing this game is because both teams have something to play for. Hartlepool, they're 2 points clear of relegation. And they've got two games in hand. So I think they'll really kind of try and stretch away from that area because they've had a few wins recently. They've been in decent form and they've got a few points down lower down the league, and I hope they do all right. AFC in ninth, which is quite, you know, three places off the playoff, but they are 6 points off the playoff. So a win would really help their cause. Again, they've only scored four in their last four. However, in the head-to-head, the last three of the last five have been both teams to score. Three wins for Hartlepool and two for AFC. So there's always been a winner. I just hope that they've both got something to play for. Playoffs and saving from relegation. And we'll see how we get on from there.
Greg, you have some reservations about Hartlepool being able to score against AFC.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like the Guiseley-Dover game in a way that I think the away team will get a goal. Mm. And I'm not... Hartlepool could score. You know, they've scored plenty of times this season, but they are quite low scores, aren't they?
They are. I think in 35 games, they might have scored 37, 38 goals.
I don't think it's a given they're going to score. No. So I think we might need a little bit of luck there, but hey, you're in a lucky form.
Yeah,
so.
To me, I'll be honest with you, it seems a complete shot in the dark. If I was going through both teams to score, I wouldn't have picked that one myself.
It's only 1.83, though. I mean, both teams to score are normally 1.6 to 1.8. So it's not. It's quite, relatively high, but it's not massive.
Yeah, but they don't really go above 2.05. That's about as high as both teams to score. I think I've ever seen it, apart from maybe when it's really, really one-sided, it might go to 2.2. So 1.8 is still relatively high.
Yeah, 1.83. I don't know. I mean, as you're talking about it, I'm a bit worried. And do you know what? I would never have actually backed
Where's your confidence?
No, I wouldn't have backed
11
it.
11 from 12, mate.
I wouldn't have backed it because it's a bit kind of sketchy. But because I've been, you know, on good form, I'm confident. So I'm just going to back it.
Greg, you got an answer yet for the Jamaica question?
I'm going to go for Steve Stone.
Who actually, you are a bit of a mirror image of, with your bald head.
Yeah. No, I'm struggling. I think unless... is it the Jamaican team that went to the World Cup?
No.
Oh. In that case, then, I've no idea.
Nathan, got any guesses? He's played for you as well.
Oh, what, Coventry?
Yep.
You're kidding me. Oh, man.
And it's not Paul Hall.
It's not Paul Hall. It's not Paul Williams.
Sinclair?
No, I don't know.
Okay, guys, it was Marlon King.
Oh, Marlon King. He did a good job for us then. No. Yeah, he did all right.
I've erased him from my memory because I dislike him so much. As a
person. I was never going to get that. Not in a million years, to be fair.
I've got a bit of a story about Marlon King, but actually I've just realised that it's probably quite libelous, so I'm not going to tell it. I do apologise for that. Anyone wants to message me on Twitter or anywhere like that and wants to hear my Marlon King story,
they can do
so, but I don't think we should publish it because... No. It's not very... It doesn't put him in a very good light. He's already not in a very good light. He got done for assaulting a woman in a nightclub a few years ago.
He's even been in Nottingham.
He went to prison.
Not a great track record, mate. Yeah. And he came out again and then he started to play football again.
Yeah.
Which is quite interesting because, you know, he went to prison and then he came back out, played football, fine. And then who's the fella that got done for a rape?
Yeah, well,
Ched Evans.
It's a little bit
Ched
more.
Evans.
Okay. I'm not advocating, you know, hitting women in nightclubs at Marlon King, but I think rape is a slightly more serious crime than that.
Yeah.
But no one will touch him now because he came out of prison for rape, and then all of a sudden people are.
And rightly so, in my view. But
I couldn't agree more. So second pick, you are breaking what is what I'm going to call the new people, which is. Don't bet on Scotland. and you're going to Scotland. So tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm going Clyde versus Arbroath at 1.57, which is going down to the Scottish second division. Now, Clyde have got some form here. They're second. They're second versus Arbroath, who are ninth. So second versus ninth. It's only a 10-team league.
Is that a derby?
No, I haven't got a clue.
No one's got any idea.
I've got a feeling Clyde is close to Glasgow, inside Glasgow.
No idea, mate.
Arbroath, I guess, is in Arbroath.
Yeah.
Sounds like a seaside resort to me. I'm going to guess.
I don't think there's many of those in Scotland.
Wait, Scotland's a beautiful place, man.
It's beautiful. It's not very warm to go to the beach.
Except from a betting perspective.
I went skiing there. That was nice.
What, in Arbroath?
No, Scotland. Yeah. It might have been about nine.
So tell us how you picked out this beauty from the full range of fixtures that were offered.
Out of the two, this is definitely my more confident one because it's 1.57, so the bookies don't really like it. Like I said, it's only a 10-team league. It's second versus ninth. Clyde have won the last three out of four. They've scored 11 goals in those four games. So Arbroath, obviously a poor ninth out of 10th. They're safe from relegation, actually, because they're 7 points clear from East Stirling, and East Stirling are 10th. And only in that league, one team goes down. So they kind of are safe. So I'm hoping they've not really got too much to play for. And in their last six as well, they've not been great. They've won one, they've lost one. They've lost one, they've drawn one, and they've lost four. So obviously, they're not really great. Their form says that they're going to lose. So we'll just see how that goes, really. They played actually five games ago, quite recently, and away from home, Clyde got a 1-0 win. So I'm hoping that at home, Clyde, second in the league, they'll do well.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say, do you ever think, like, how much is too much when we come to losing in Scotland? Do you ever think you'll ever draw a line? And that we've got a horrific statistical record in Scotland. And no doubt, every time you pick something in Scotland, you stand there and go, it's top of the league versus bottom of the league, cannot lose, they've got a terrible form, la 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 la. And lo and behold, the Scottish league let us down. And if it happens this time, I'm not saying it will. If it happens this time, will that put you off? Will you ever be put off from going to Scotland?
No, because if I see a good game with a good odd, with good stats, I'll try and back it. But the last two that I've backed in Scotland have come off, so...
Oh, that's good. So that's not bad then. That's not bad.
I'm improving the FBC's ratio of success.
That's just the rest of us
in betting in Scotland. Yeah.
I just think Scotland's like a Bermuda Triangle for football. It just doesn't make any sense to me anymore.
Wow.
So harsh words.
Harsh words from Justin.
Well, I'm not saying anything about the Scottish people. I just think the football defies any kind of logic. I'm just going to, before we go to the wild card, I'm going to ask you your last question. You might want to take some time to consider it.
I've got two right now.
You're on two. Two out of four. So you've got a 50% strike rate. This is to go to whatever three out of five would be in the percentage.
Yeah. 60%.
60%. Very good. Around your actual FBC strike rate.
Yeah.
Rather than mine. last question. Almost barely Forest related. Wes Morgan is not married, but he has a child. The mother of his child is the sister of a well-known former Premier League footballer. Who is her brother?
That is a great question.
I will give you a little bit more information. This seems to have happened quite a lot in this quiz, but he's also played for Coventry.
Oh my word. Tell you what, that was a Christmas do that got out of hand, wasn't it?
Wes, meet my sister.
Right, so...
All right.
Or, my name's Wes. Whose sister are you?
Well, I'll let you think about that while we talk about the wild card picks. So the wild card. The wild card has a thing, I think it's fair to say, for Bristol Rovers. I don't know if there's a connection between Sasquatches and Pirates, but he loves Bristol Rovers. He's backed them a few times. And this time he's gone for a daring one, I think. Bristol Rovers to beat Cambridge United.
Yeah, I'm unsure of this as well. I've got to say, Cambridge are on the back of two good results.
Well, they messed me up the other day, didn't they? They got results with Northampton.
That's right, they drew, yeah.
They got a draw. That's 1.8, that one. But haven't Bristol Rovers been on, pretty decent form? And
they are on good form. Yeah.
Didn't you put that on the Twitter there about the fact that they've done well recently?
I said it last week on the podcast that they're very good to back away and I think all the best away records. But they're certainly very good. I'm just worried that they might have come up against, like we said with one of Justin's bets with Lincoln where they were winning all the time. You've got to come up against a team eventually that will just give you a little draw or make it a little bit more difficult. Or this could be that. But who knows?
Where are they in the league? Anybody know that?
Bristol Rovers.
Yeah.
They're about
second or third, aren't they?
They're about fourth or fifth, yeah. I'd say.
So they've got something to play for there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
So do Cambridge. Remember, the reason they came back against Northampton, they were only three points outside of the playoffs. They're fighting for the playoffs as well.
Oh, I remember now.
I think there's a lot riding on that game.
Well, I'm going to inhale deeply and see how the wild card gets on there. But it's a 1.8 home win is back. Bristol Rovers versus Cambridge. Jury is out on that one. You might want to think carefully if you're going to back it. But the second one is Northampton to beat Newport, 1.66. What are you saying, gents?
Well, I don't like backing against Newport as they ruined my Portsmouth bet a few weeks ago, which I thought was a very similar situation, 1.6 or 1.5. Must be a home banker. Newport just seemed to put... They won 3-0 that day. There was a sending off, admittedly, to Portsmouth. But I don't know, Newport should lose that game. But
yeah, I think Northampton are slightly better side than Portsmouth.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I think that being said, however, there's, you know, Northampton, as we just said, are capable of dropping points at home in games where you'd expect them to win. And Newport, like Cambridge United, a very different thing to play for, but massive thing to play for to stay in the league.
Yeah.
So
I think they're safe now, especially with that 3-0 win. Sorry, I think they're enough points away from the relegation zone.
Newport.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're a couple of places
above.
Yeah.
Early in the season for them to be safe.
True. Maybe not safe, but it looks highly likely that they'll go down. But like I say, I hear what you're saying. You never know.
Nevertheless, I'm kind of doing it down because actually, when I saw that one, along with your Burton bet, that was the other one that I would have really liked to have got. So I think that's a safe-ish bet.
Okay, fair enough.
Safe-ish bet.
Well, let's hope Wildcard
is a key phrase there, isn't it?
I can't really say anything's a safe bet anymore. I have to include ish because of my present form.
Yeah, I hear that. So, you know, please have a look at those bets. Listen to the discussion. Think if you fancy them or not. Bet the ones, you know, that you think you are going to come off. Back them. If not, maybe avoid them, put me in my own accumulator. So we've had quite a bit of interaction on social media this week. Have we? Have we not?
I don't know. Tell me. Well, apart from Norris.
We've got one loyal Twitter follower.
Nick Burns,
who said, the podcast is like a drug.
Yeah.
He's addicted.
I love that. I love his passion. He's so, on Facebook, he's on the Twitter.
Who is a heroin addict of Scotland.
Nick Burns is addicted. Well, someone's going to need to take it off him at some point and just let him detox.
So thanks for that, Nick. That's good. Keep up your positive feedback. We appreciate it.
I think if we did two a week, his life would be over. So we need to make sure we stick to one a week. Yeah.
Otherwise, look out on our website, just for in case we do put Monday tips on there or something like that, or just stay abreast of social media because we do like to throw a few little nuggets out there as well.
Remember, the website is www.thefootballbetclub.com. Do you want to do the Twitter handles while Greg just has one more chance?
I'm just going to go with that Wes Morgan is married to...
He's not married. He just has a child.
He's
baby
had a child
mother.
With a baby mother.
Crazy Christmas too.
Of Dion Dublin.
Nathan, you got any thoughts on this?
I'm
afraid it's no one that famous. He is a former Premier League striker, but it's no one that famous.
No idea.
Leon... Best.
Leon, really? he was good for us as well, actually.
He was
good for us. Leon Best. I wonder what Leon Best's sister looks like.
Is Wes Morgan's baby mother. and Leon Best is Nottingham born, but has never played for a Nottingham side apart from coming through the Notts County youth ranks.
Maybe that's where they knew each other from, because I think Wes Morgan did start originally in Notts County.
Are you sure you want to make that assertion?
As I frantically check Wikipedia.
Right, so unfortunately, you scored 2 out of 5 for how well do you know your team.
Oh, yeah. 40%.
To be fair, I thought the questions were relatively high. Nathan wanted me to make the questions really hard.
Yeah.
I thought that
was.
Do
you know
what's
even worse about this? Is that I actually did loads of research about Forest because I thought you would do this. And I actually looked up all these stats about Forest. Still only got 2 out of 5.
I was going to ask you who the total appearance holder is for your club, but then I thought I'd just go for things in your lifetime.
Anything to do, I think like Wally Arden or someone is like the top scorer of all time or something like that. But anyone past like the war year, so just lose.
I wanted it to just be in your lifetime, a bit like Quantum Leap.
Second week in a row, a 90s reference.
Bob McKinley, by the way, is your
good old Bob.
Appearance record holder.
Go on, Robert.
Right. You got some Twitter handles for people?
Yeah, obviously, follow us on Twitter. Join in the discussion. Any tips, feedback, anything you want to discuss, just make sure that you put it on the Twitter, especially on a Saturday afternoon. Well, actually, this week's probably going to be Friday, really, isn't it?
Friday.
Because of the extended betting kind of episode. So I'm at FBC Nathan on Twitter. Justin is at @FBC_Justin. The wildcard is at @Wildcard_FBC. And Greg, our league leader, is Greg_FBC. Speaking of Greg, do we have a Global Bet of the Week this week?
We do have a Global Bet of the Week. And
how did last week's
Global Bet? Oh, yeah, let's review last week's Global Bet of the Week first.
I feel, even though the Global Bet did not come in, as all of our followers obviously know who all backed it, or didn't, I did, but it was in the Jamaican League, Jamaican Premier League, and Montego Bay United, who were flying high, threw away the lead twice to end up drawing that game 2-2 against Cavalier,
yeah,
who got a 2-2 draw there, and I'm disappointed. But however, it didn't lose 7-0, so
it's an improvement. Yeah, I mean, I really hope that Cavalier showed that 0-0-10 formation, because as their name warrants. But maybe that's what it was, that they got their two goals. Who knows?
Now, I'm going this week to the Japan J2 League.
J2?
Ooh,
J2 League. And we will be...
Hang on. This is bordering on credible here.
Yeah, this is...
J2 is not obscure.
I'm pretty sure...
Make it a double with the Cameroon Elite 1.
No. Go Japanese, mate.
I do fancy the Apogee Academy and the Cameroon Elite League to draw.
That's a tip right there.
But... we'll be going to the Japan J2 League, so I've had some insider knowledge there as my parents are currently in Japan. But we're going to be backing Jeff United.
Ooh!
Jeff United Chiba.
I've actually heard of them. This is not obscure enough for Global Bet.
Wow. Really?
United.
Let's see who they're playing.
If you want to overrule it, I've got another more.
Go Jeff.
We'll go Jeff United.
Go on, Jeff.
Well, I've heard them. Jeff. I think I've even watched them play.
Now, they're playing in what is probably a local derby, because nearly every game is a local derby on this show. But they're playing Thespa Kusatsu, which is Thespa Kusatsu, and that's at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. So if you're up early, check out.
Who are you backing? What's the odds?
Jeff United are 1.8 at home. I'm going back to home. So I've had two stingers away.
I've got to say, I think that's going to come in, being that I've heard of Jeff United. I've never heard of the other side.
Always back a team you've heard of.
I was hoping you were going to mention Urawa Red Diamonds, who I had a shirt from when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good.
I'm going to back that because I've heard of the team.
Yeah.
Can I just say that the best named team in that league is actually Mito Hollyhocks, which is a bit of a strange name.
Mate, Jeff United. Come on, Jeff. Yeah.
That's what stuck to me. So 6 a.m. Saturday morning, Jeff United 1.8. Global Bet is back on form.
So what's that? 2 out of 6 you've got, or 2 out of 5? That you've got correct. Yeah. For those people who are new to the show, it's a bit of a laugh. Please do not back your financial gain on the bet of the week.
It started off in my mind as just to see if I could pick random bets from around the world that would get a better strike rate than the wild card bets. And at the moment, it's not working. So at least that's something. Hey.
No.
Okay, so I guess that's us done for the week. We should mention, and Nathan kind of alluded to it, that you should gamble responsibly.
Always.
We always put a fairly minimal amount of money on this every week.
Yeah.
We do not kind of gamble beyond our means, and we would advise everyone does the same. Please gamble
responsibly. And don't chase things as well. Sometimes when the accumulator loses on the Saturday, it's tempting to go in again, but try and maintain some composure, maybe. I don't know.
Definitely. And we'll let you know on social media about how the Dulwich Hamlet game gets on.
Yeah.
And we hope that it's a successful evening for the FBC, and hopefully we might get a few more listeners.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
And please remember to leave those reviews on iTunes or send us comments on our website. So until next week, I'll see you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.